Chapter 9. John had to admit that even though he supported Styles dating his favorite and most promising young deputy, it was only natural that he had a handful of concerns and reservations. He knew Derek and the Hale family were good people, no problem there, but he was older. And even though he really wasn't that much older than Styles, those 5 or so years seemed huge during the times that John looked at Styles and saw a 4-year-old who had snuck into the kitchen and covered his face in green butter icing while his mother answered the front door, because he wanted to be like the Incredible Hulk, but he didn't think that he could get angry enough. Maya had just laughed and said that she preferred the Hulk Styles's way. After she passed away and Styles found that he could have that much anger inside of him, John had realized how much he missed that more innocent Hulk. John knew that the Styles covered in icing, and Maya licking a swipe off to make him squirm, would still always be with him. But the thought of him in a real relationship with someone, not just a crush, made him seem that much farther away. Realistically, he knew that with Styles just shy of 18, John's focus on the age issue was simply a father reluctant to let his son go. Nothing more. The issue of Derek working for him was something he wondered about as well, not so much for how it would affect him and Derek directly. He knew Derek was not the sort to attempt to use a personal relationship to try and curry favor. And as for himself, if he could say no to Styles without qualm, he could sure as hell do the same to Styles' boyfriend. More of a potential problem was how the rest of the deputies and support staff would react to the perception that Derek had John's ear, by virtue of his relationship with Styles. Even in a fairly quiet town, every officer needed to have each other's back, and even the slightest whiff of favoritism could cause serious resentment. However, as just the other day John had overheard a few of the deputies discussing the current status of the Derek Styles dating pool with the daytime dispatcher, he realized he didn't have all that much to worry about on that count. Though he wasn't completely sure if he should feel slighted or thankful for not being asked to opt in. In fact, the one possible concern that had never crossed his mind was that Derek would get it into his head that he had to win John over almost as much as Styles. In the past few weeks since their first date, that they both were so incredibly unsubtle about that John still didn't know how he didn't break down laughing in either of their faces, Derek had taken to bringing in wild game to give to John after each and every one of his and Styles' dates. So far, John had been the recipient of 3 braces of rabbits on 3 separate occasions: wild goose, duck, pheasant, wild boar, and now Deputy Hale stood in front of him with a cooler filled with 8 pounds of venison. "I really hadn't known that you liked to hunt quite so much," John said, with a touch of wariness, taking the cooler from Derek, who, God help him, looked much more like a puppy that had just proudly dropped a dead frog at his owner's feet than the responsible and hard-working deputy John knew him to be. John never thought he would be in a position to have to remind himself not to scratch one of his deputies behind the ear and tell him he was a good boy. "I've just had a lot of excess energy lately, and hunting is a bit of a stress reliever for me," Derek said. "And I just thought that you've been, or being, about Styles. It would be a good way to not say thank you exactly, because you didn't directly give, but to show my respect and appreciation. And most game meat is really more heart healthy than what you can get in the supermarket. So Styles should be happy about it too. Me giving it to you. Like a puppy." A puppy that was not only trying to ensure that he had John's approval, but also seemed to be trying to show that he was a good provider and could keep the Stilinski clan flush with edible woodland creatures till the end of their days. John might be running out of freezer space, but overall, he had to say he was pretty pleased with the state of things. If he had to think of his son dating an older man, Derek was pretty much the cream of the crop as far as he was concerned, And he was pretty sure his Uncle Albert had some pretty good venison recipes. And though he tried very, very hard not to think about this aspect of Stiles and Derek dating, if Derek was trying to find other avenues to relieve his stress, that implied pretty strongly that the two of them were behaving for the most part until Stiles was legal. Those makeout sessions that John kept narrowly avoiding walking in on, the farthest they'd gone. Yes, John really was as pleased with the state of things as any father could be when his son was sporting hickeys like they were a hot new fashion statement. Well, I certainly do appreciate your willingness to share the bounty that results from your excess energy. It's good to have an outlet. John couldn't help but think back to paying his respects to Maya's parents, and boy, was he letting Derek off easy. Her father didn't have a gun, but he did have an extensive collection of Japanese swords that he started when he was stationed in Okinawa. Derek might look like he wanted the earth to swallow him up right now, but he did not know how lucky he was to just be getting pointed looks and coded phrases instead of demonstrations on watermelons on exactly how sharp those swords could be. So, I wanted to double check with you before I asked Stiles anything. But does he have any plans with you for his birthday this Saturday? Derek asked, tilting his head slightly to the side as he spoke. What were you thinking of, Derek? John's cadence was laconic, but he could tell that Derek was registering his "just because the situation is going to change, don't forget where we all stand" unspoken undertones. The Violent Femmes. Their reunion tour is stopping at the Stone Land, and a few weeks ago Stiles was telling me how he used to listen to them with his mom, and that she'd seen them in concert when she was his age. I just thought he might like to go as his present for me. With me. It's already Wednesday. Are you sure you can still get tickets? John asked with a raised eyebrow. I ordered them online the next day after he mentioned he liked them, said Derek, straightening his head and looking John straight in the eye. John held his gaze, and when Derek dropped his eyes, John couldn't help but chuckle to himself. Stiles and I always have a birthday breakfast to celebrate, so no worries about upsetting any plans with me. Can't say for sure he wouldn't have something planned with Scott, but I think Stiles would love to go to the concert with you. And I am going to delude myself into thinking that all you two could possibly be doing is going to a concert. Sheriff, Derek choked out, color rising to his cheeks. Derek, do me a favor. When it's strictly Stiles related and not in a work capacity, just call me John. And allow me my fatherly right to stick my head in the sand and pretend that certain aspects of my son's personal life are not happening, okay? All right, Derek said with a firm nod, coming back to the more familiar face John was used to seeing at work. Derek held out his hand as if to seal a deal, and John took it in his own and gave it a solid shake. John, all I want to do is make sure he's happy, Derek said, pulling his hand back. I know. John said. That's all I want, too. From time to time, Amelia honestly couldn't help but wonder whether, in the minds of all the horror movie nuts and hunters out there, did they ever picture the big bad werewolves of the world not prowling through the woods to rend some girl wearing primary colors to shreds, but instead popping out of the office to take a break from poring over other people's taxes, and waiting with increasingly thinning patience for coffee while some oversized jerk at the front of the line berated the poor trainee barista. Probably not. The hunters liked to imagine themselves the heroes of the story as a way to justify their own bloodlust that prevented them from seamlessly fitting in with the rest of society even more so than most wolves, and would scoff at the idea of anything that didn't involve Amelia and her family picking bits of viscera out of their teeth. The horror fans would just think it boring and start talking about zombies instead. Amelia had never been fond of zombie movies. She always ended up feeling as if she could smell the decomposition, no matter how silly the makeup job. Though she honestly wouldn't mind if some undead came in to chomp at the man at the front, who had escalated the abuse he was hurling at the barista, both in content and volume. "This tastes like crap! What sort of idiot are you that you made it so strong?" "I'm sorry, sir, but you asked for a small latte with 3 extra shots of espresso. Did you mean you only wanted 1 extra shot in addition to the 2 already in the latte? I can remake it for you at no charge if that's what you want." "No, you stupid cow! I want my latte with 3 extra shots. I just want you to make it not taste like shit. What the fuck is wrong with you?"
"Sir, I'm really not sure what..."
"Where do you get off interrupting me, bitch?"
"But if I remake it with the 5 shots, it's still going to taste strong," the harassed girl said, tears beginning to run down her face.
"Just do what I say, you..."
And neither the barista nor the other patrons ever found out what else he was going to call her, as a hand came down on each of his shoulders and he was forcibly dragged out of the cafe by Amelia and the newly arrived Sheriff Stilinski.
"You are an awful excuse for a human being, making that poor girl cry just because you're too stupid to order a drink correctly without your mother holding your hand," Amelia said, tightening her grip just enough to make the man wince.
"Look, you stupid..."
"Sir,
we are about to do you a favor here. If you would use your eyes for 1 moment, you would see that I am, in fact, a law enforcement officer. And it would be absolutely no trouble at all for me to arrest you right now for causing a public disturbance. I could just get my coffee to go and haul your ass back to the station to spend the night in a holding cell."
"You can't."
The man blanched at the sheriff's words.
"I can. But lucky for you, I'm going to cut you a break, so long as you apologize to this lovely lady here, that sweet girl inside, and every other customer who had to deal with your bullshit. Otherwise, I take you in and toss you in the cell with the blocked-up toilet." Amelia decided that, all in all, it was rather satisfying to see a 6-foot-plus man being made to begrudgingly apologize to the 5-foot-1 barista. Though if she had been by herself, she was confident she would have gotten him to straight-up grovel, complete with tears. She was Laura's mother, after all. Just because she was more even-tempered than her daughter didn't mean that certain traits didn't run in the family.
"Would you really have arrested him, John?" Amelia asked as they left the cafe after finally getting their coffees and leaving the still-distressed barista a healthy tip.
"For a guy like that? Most of the time, just the threat of any sort of repercussion is enough. But if he tried to keep playing tough, I probably would have. I like it better when they crumble, though. Less paperwork to deal with."
"Well, as a tax-paying member of the public, it's good to know that you would probably enforce the law, even in the face of having to do paperwork," Amelia said with a smile over the top of her chai latte.
"Ouch, Amelia. Just ouch. This is why I prefer dealing with your son. Much more deferential."
"Well, Derek has always had something of a vested interest in keeping you happy, hasn't he? Even more so now than he did before."
"About that, I have to ask, is it some sort of Hale family tradition to pay court with dead animals?"
"Why do you ask?" Amelia asked, wondering what Derek had done. Had he been giving in to the wolf too much? Normally, she would never have thought so, but he had started out courting Styles in a very fraught condition.
"He's just been bringing me enough game to feed an entire hunting lodge twice over. In fact, he just gave me a cooler chock full of venison this morning."
"Oh, that's all," Amelia said, unable to keep the touch of relief out of her voice. "And yes, you could say it is."
"You seem sort of surprised."
"What, did you think I meant he was leaving dead squirrels on my doorstep?" John asked with a laugh. While Amelia had been thinking along those lines, she decided this was probably not yet the time to share.
"Oh, Derek never liked squirrels. Too much fluff in their tails for his taste. Sticks in his teeth," Amelia said with a wink, just as John had taken a sip of his Americano, causing his cheeks to bulge much like said squirrels, to prevent himself from spitting his coffee out with a laugh. Once he swallowed, he wiped his lips and pointed an accusatory finger at Amelia. "Your sense of humor is a danger to the public good. I am definitely sure I prefer dealing with Derek." "I'm glad," Amelia said, looking up straight into John's eyes. "I'm glad that you do like Derek so much, that you approve. Because we all love Styles, and if you had objected..." "Derek respects you so much, ever since that night, and if you had been against them..." "Amelia, I've seen them together. I don't think I could have kept them apart if I wanted to," John said ruefully, keeping her gaze. "But it would have hurt him. Both of them. And we've all had enough hurt in our lives."
"It's just as well we don't have to think about any of that, then. They're good to each other. They balance each other. I honestly think that they can make each other happy. I mean, I'm not planning their wedding or anything, but..."
"Oh, don't worry about that. I've got it completely covered," Amelia said, with an authoritative nod.
Not that I'm unhappy with the possibility, but they have only been actually dating a few weeks, and Styles is still technically not 18 for a few more days."
"I'm not saying it would be immediately or anything like that, of course, but it pays to plan ahead. I found a company online where all you have to do is send them a few photos of the couple who are getting married, and they make to order cake toppers in the exact likeness. Very reasonably priced, too."
John looked at Amelia with an expression that she could only categorize as somewhere between amused and odd.
"Well, should the occasion arise, I will certainly leave it all in your very capable hands."
"A wise choice, John. A very wise choice."